Okay, did you get, if you didn't get a bulletin that has the lesson in it, raise your hand. We'll get you one. If you did not get one of the bulletins, did we get those all out to everybody? I think on the patio we may have a few if we can get those out. We won't stand. We don't have a scripture reading per se because we have many scriptures that we're going through. We're in the book of Proverbs, and we've started that. We're, I think this is our fifth or sixth week. I think it says sixth here, and of course, we had an introduction the first week. The last few weeks, we've been talking about the wise man, okay? And we went through that for several weeks. We're going to start something new this week. We understand that Proverbs is a book of wisdom. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction, okay? And we've mentioned God has put a premium on obtaining wisdom. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 7. Let's read this and then we'll pray. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Let's pray this evening. Now, Father, I thank you for the opportunity we have to come to your word tonight. And I pray, Lord, as we look at the book of Proverbs, that you would help us to get something. Help us to see some principles tonight. Maybe speak to our hearts if there's an area that we might be struggling in or you might be speaking to us about. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Of course, wisdom, as we've already reiterated, is the ability to apply God's truth to life. And we've been looking at the wise man. God wants us to have wisdom. God wants us to be wise, and we looked at that. Now, as we mentioned in the book of Proverbs, there are three types of people mentioned in the book. As I believe this is in your notes. We'll just go back through this. The first man is the wise man. Who is the wise man? The one who seeks to learn and live God's principles. That is wisdom. It's not how smart you are. It's not what kind of grades you get. Do you know the Word of God, and can you do what the Word of God tells you to do? Then we looked, the second man mentioned in Proverbs is the simple man. Who is the simple? The one who doesn't know and understand God's principles. Okay? They have an ignorance because they don't get it yet. That can be good, that can be bad, depending on what direction they're going. And then the last one, the one we're going to start looking at tonight, is the foolish man. Who is the foolish one? The one who ignores and defies God's principles. They don't care about them, they don't want to hear it, and they're not going to do anything about it. Anyhow, that is the foolish man. Now, I want you to get this. As you look at the book of Proverbs, the foundational two characters of the book of Proverbs are the wise man and the foolish man. They're the polar opposites. The foundation of the book is in those two that are mentioned. Now, as you go through Proverbs, there are many categories mentioned. It talks about diligence. It talks about laziness. It talks about prudence. It talks about other things of that nature. But those are characteristics that one of these two have or don't have. The positive traits or principles that are taught in the book of Proverbs, the wise man will incorporate into his life. The negative aspects, the wise man will avoid them at all cost. The fool is the complete opposite. He is typically going to be characterized by the negative aspects and character qualities taught in Proverbs. And the positive one that the wise man would seek to adopt, he will not adopt. How does that play in with the simple man? The simple man can go either way. He's either going to go to the side striving to be wise, or he can go the way of the fool. So in these first few lessons, we're extending out on on the wise man and the foolish man as they're kind of laying the foundation of what kind of individual we're going to be. If you've lived any amount of years on this earth, as you go through Proverbs and you learn some of the principles and some of the consequences, there can be a little bit of a sadness because you'll understand through the course of your life, you've met people, or you may have relatives, or in some cases earlier in your life, it could have been you who have violated some of these principles and have paid the consequences. But that's okay. We're learning so that we don't have to experience them anymore, or we can encourage others not to have to experience those negative outcomes. Now this week, we're going to start looking at the actions, traits, characteristics of what Proverbs calls the foolish man. Now, most of you, I'm sure, maybe would think, well, why would we study the foolish person? After all, I'm not a fool. Okay? Now, I'll say this. That's true, I would say, in most areas. I don't know everybody that close. I'm looking at some. There's a little bit that are iffy. How you doing, Brother Paul? But the problem is this. Even though we may not be characterized as a fool, you wouldn't be at church if you were a total fool, okay, defined by the Bible. But it doesn't mean that sometimes a wise person cannot get caught up doing something that is foolish. Now, it may not characterize who we are in our life, but if we're not careful, a wise person can still do foolish things if they're not careful. Think about David and the whole escapade with Bathsheba. He blew through so many principles to get to where he got, which was wrong. David, the king, a man after God's own heart, still, because he was not careful, ended up doing something very foolish. The man who wrote most all of the Proverbs here, King Solomon, characterized as the wisest man that ever lived. Read the end of the story, the end of his life. At the end of his life, it would be more characterized as being a foolish man than being a wise man. Why? Because he violated some biblical principles. Think about Peter. Peter, who Jesus said, you know, give up everything you're doing and follow me. And Peter did. And yet we see him when Christ is being crucified and Christ is being killed, he's forsaking his Lord. And on and on and on in the Bible you can see. So sometimes people who strive to be wise, and for the most part, that's what they want to be, if we're not careful, we can do some things that are foolish. And so that's why we need to do that. Now, with all of that in mind, let's look at a few principles tonight about the foolish man. Look at number one. The foolish man's tendencies are born into us and must be driven out with discipline. Okay? The foolish man's tendencies are born into us and must be driven out with discipline. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 15. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. It's there. It's tied into who they are. But the rod of correction shall drive it from him. See, we are sinful creatures. Therefore, when we have children, we have sinful creatures. And sinful creatures are born with foolish tendencies. Your children need to be taught right. They don't need to be taught wrong. They pretty much got that down, okay? You don't have to teach your kids. Now, here's what you do if you want to be bad. Can I just tell you something? They got it. They are born with that skill. It's in their nature. It reminds me of the story, maybe you've heard it, of there was a scorpion, and a scorpion came to a river, and the scorpion wanted to cross the river. And, of course, the scorpion can't swim, and so he saw a frog. A frog can get across the water, and he said to the frog, he goes, hey, why don't you give me a ride? And the frog said, there is no way I'm going to give you a ride. You'll kill me. You'll sting me. The scorpion said, no, I won't. I promise. He goes, no, you'll sting me. He goes, listen. Why would I sting you? If we're out on the water and I sting you, you're going to drown and die, and I can't swim, I'm going to die. The frog thought about it for a minute and thought, that makes sense. He goes, fine, I'll give you a ride. So the scorpion got on his back. They're halfway through the river. And sure enough, the frog feels it. Boom. The scorpion stung him. And as the venom started taking place and he started getting paralyzed, he said, what are you doing? Why did you do that? Don't you know that now we're both going to die? Why did you sting me? And the scorpion said, I'm a scorpion. That's my nature. Okay? That's what I do. You know what your children do? I don't mean this in a negative. They're foolish. It's born in them. That's what they are naturally going to do. If we're, look, don't listen to psychologists that say, you know, people are inherently good. They will inherently do the right thing. No, they won't. No, they will not. By the way, you may look like an angel now, but I know you have horns somewhere. Okay? We will not inherit. Look at, oh, those children, they're, you stick them in a room and they're so sweet. Listen, that's probably some of the most violent you could ever see is put a bunch of children in a room, little ones, unsupervised, and it is on. Okay? They're, look, you say, well, what are they doing? What's wrong with your kid? I'll tell you what's wrong with my kid, and I'll tell you what's wrong with your kid. They're foolish. They're born that way. By the way, you were born that way. Some of you are still there. What's the parent's job? You know what the parent's job is? To discipline the foolishness out of them. To teach them that there are acts, there are behaviors that are not acceptable. By the way, you know why our society is so bad? Why we have so many adults that act like children, are irresponsible, and do ridiculous things? Because their parents never disciplined it out of them. Let little Johnny do whatever he wants. How do you feel? Look, quit looking past that cute little baby face. Behind that baby face is like Satan's younger brother, okay? They're like, it's like, oh, they're so cute. Man, don't turn your back on them. They are born that way. That's okay. We're sinful. We spoil them. Listen, those little brats, sweethearts, they know how to play you. Right? My wife has a daycare, and sometimes, I'm not there very often, I was there one day, and they brought a couple of kids in, and they're going to cry. Now, why? They don't mind being at the daycare, but you know what they do? They cry because, oh, I can't leave now. Little Junior's crying. It might hurt his little psychological. Listen, as soon as they shut the door, the kid's like, that didn't work. They stop crying and go play. They know how to play you. They're just trying to get their way, and we give in to them, okay? You say, oh, I'm not going to put my baby in the nursery. I don't want them to cry. Listen, they'll cry once or twice, and they'll be fine. But every time you give in to them, they're going to cry worse the next time. Okay? Don't give in to them. It's your job to teach them there's repercussions for what they do. This isn't going over very well. Thank you, Ryan. But I thought I have your name right here because this describes you. What happens is if you don't help drive it out of those little children, it could become permanent. They'll go around with a chip on their shoulder. And that's not what you want. And by the way, let me say this. Some of you may have grew up where you were allowed to do all those things, and you may have that little tendency. Now that you're an adult, and especially if you're a Christian, you work on those things. Okay? Because the fact of the matter is, all of us still have that little bit of nagging foolishness, that sinfulness inside of us. And we need to purposely make sure. You are doing your children a disservice if you let them do whatever they want. You're doing them a disservice. Well, little Johnny will cry if I don't give him that. You know what? Crying's good for him. Okay? Well, you know, I just don't like to tell my children no. You know, sometimes I just like that word. No. Dad, I want to give you $20. No. Okay? No. They just look, don't always give in to them. All right. What do you want for dinner? This. Good. We're eating this. You don't get what you want. Amen? But I'm just saying, let's teach them and train them that, listen, life is about responsibility. Life is about not doing what you feel like doing. And so it's your responsibility to teach those wonderful, little, beautiful children that look like angels and act like devils. Okay? And by the way, say, you know, that's my problem. It's my parents' fault I'm acting like I am. Okay, you want to blame your parents for the way you act, but who's paying for your actions? Are they paying or are you paying? You might want to just say, listen, this is how God wants me to act. I can't. We just grow up a little bit. So foolishness, we all are born with it. Let's help to teach and train to get past those foolish tendencies. Number two, the foolish man can be very dangerous and vicious if he's confronted about his foolishness. Okay? The foolish man can be very dangerous and vicious if he is confronted about his foolishness. Proverbs 17:12. Let a bear robbed of his whelps meet a man rather than a fool in his folly. Okay? Now, I don't know a lot about bears, except I don't want to be near them, especially in the wilderness, unless you have a really big gun. Okay? But mama bear is going to take care of baby bear. And if they feel threatened, you are in trouble. I read a story in 2001. There was a couple in Yellowstone National Park, and the couple was out on a hike, and they accidentally came upon a mother bear and some of her cubs, and they startled the mother bear on accident. They didn't know it was there, and the husband ended up being killed. The mother bear just felt, these are my babies. I got to take care of them, and killed the dad. The park ranger said, you know, it's a very unfortunate thing, but don't blame the mother. That's just their nature, okay? You know, fools are, that's what the Bible, Proverbs says, that's what a fool is like when they're confronted with their folly, what they're doing. Fools don't want to hear it. When they're confronted with their sin or their wrongdoing, they typically won't respond very kindly. It's in their foolish, sinful nature to protect their moral freedom, and they'll get upset with anybody who questions what they do, okay? And so, listen, by the way, it's not our job to go and tell other people what to do unless what they're doing is hurting somebody else. That's why you see, you know, sometimes Proverbs has two verses where it says reprove a scorner, and then elsewhere it says don't reprove a scorner. Well, what's true? Is the Bible contradicting? No. You reprove a scorner when their actions are hurting somebody else, and you're not reproving them for their sake. You're reproving them for the sake of the person who's caught up in their nonsense. Okay? But if it's just them, you got to be very careful if they're not hurting you. They just don't want to hear it. By the way, that's a good test with your children. When they do something wrong and you discipline them, how do they react to it? The discipline isn't done if they don't react properly to it. Okay? If they're, look, and we're just, you know, and I understand, if you're a police officer, you understand that everybody that gets arrested, they're all innocent. They're a victim of circumstance. They didn't do anything wrong. We're just taught just, you know, deny everything until the last minute. But listen, it's children, don't let them get away with that. If you're like, hey, you did wrong. Well, you know, Johnny did not. Stop. We're not talking about that. You need to get them to admit to what they did wrong, or else you're going to help them. That's a foolish tendency they're born with, to grow up, and that becomes permanent. And now it's not a matter if they do something right or wrong. It's, can I deny it long enough until I get away with it? That's what's the difference between when we talked about the wise men, we learned that the wise man welcomes if they're doing something that's hurtful and somebody lovingly shares with them, because they don't want to live that kind of life. They want the help that they can get. But foolish people are not like that. They want to continue on their own path. Now, it's in our nature again. If someone points out something we're doing wrong, our nature is immediately to stand up for ourselves. It's very few and far between. You ask somebody, and they're like, you know what? You're right. That is wrong. That's a good lesson to come by, because a fool will never do that. You can say something to them. You know what they're going to do? They're going to attack you behind your back. They're going to criticize you. They're going to be mean-spirited. They're going to say hurtful things. And so be very careful about that. Make sure that we're not like that. We want to be wise. Number three, the foolish man, when seeking to change his ways, will inevitably go back to them. The foolish man, when seeking to change his ways, will inevitably go back to them. Now, this is not a very pretty sight, and we won't elaborate on it, but you get it as soon as you read the verse. As a dog returneth to his vomit, so a fool returneth to his folly. That's not a pretty sight. Dog throws up, it's disgusted, he'll go right back at it. That's how God pictures when a fool temporarily, for whatever reason, steps back from some of their foolishness, but they will inevitably go back. They may change temporarily, But because they don't have the spiritual power or character to follow through on it, they will inevitably go back. Listen, I'm all for change. If we're saved, God can radically change and alter our life, but we don't do it on our own. That's a problem with a fool, because the fool is denying God and really has nothing to do with God. He's not tapped into God's power. He's trying to do everything on his own. And when you try to do everything on your own, you don't have the strength or power it takes to make lasting change. Why isn't it permanent? Usually their motive for changing is flawed. There's some type of self-gain they can get out of this action. That's why they'll do it. And because their motive is wrong, their method is wrong. Self-will. Discipline. By the way, I'm all for having discipline and self-will in God's spirit. But if you're trying to, look, sin is addictive. Whosoever sinneth is the servant of sin. Slave to sin. There are such things as addictions. By the way, it's not an illness. Sin is not an illness. Okay? Let's just throw that out there. We have an RU. If someone comes in there and they have an addiction to something, it's not an illness. It's a choice they made, and sin is addictive, and because they made that choice, the sin has got a hold of them. But can I just tell you something? They can get over it. But it will not come through self-will. They need something more drastic than that. They need the power of God. The question is not about changing, but who is doing the changing? Why do we want to change? You know what the proper motive is? We want to glorify. We want to please God. That's why. And then if the motive is right, the method will be right. We change by the power of God. That's how you're going to make it. As Christians, we should be changing all of the time. All of the time. Someone has said this. There is no sin too great that the Christian cannot overcome it if he does so in the power of God's Spirit. But there is no sin so small that cannot overcome the Christian if he does so in the power of the flesh. If you're trying to change with God's power and you're spending time with him, number two up there on the step chart, devotion, and you're spending time with him and you're getting his power, you can overcome the grossest sin. But man, if you're trying to do everything in the power of your own willpower apart from God, the smallest little thing will trip you up. Why? We just don't have the power to do it. Remember that sinful, foolish nature that we're constantly fighting? It's there to trip us up. We need God's power to get us through. Look at 2 Peter 2:22. It's kind of the New Testament equivalent of this verse. It says, but it has happened unto them, as according to the proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed by her wallowing in the mire. You know, you clean up the pig. Oh, hey, it's all clean. It runs right back to the mud, because that's what pigs do. Okay? It's almost like the Bible example of Pharaoh. How many times did God have to deal with him over and over, and he went right back at it? I mean, 10 plagues, and he'll do this plague, and then, by the way, God, when God hardened his heart, what that meant is his heart was at a certain place, and God said, if that's where your heart is, I'm just going to keep it there. Okay? God wasn't causing him to do something that he didn't want to do. But his heart was hard, and he couldn't get over it, and just he stayed where he was. Number four, the foolish man has no sense. So it's a waste of time to try to make sense to them. Okay, number four, the foolish man has no sense. Therefore, it is a waste of time to try to make sense to them. Proverbs 23:9 says this, speak not in the ears of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of thy words. What's he saying? He'll get upset because you're telling him the truth. He doesn't want to hear it. It's a colossal waste of time. I don't know about you. I don't like wasting my time on things. If someone comes and wants help with something, then you help them. But sometimes people don't want help. You can't force help on somebody that doesn't want it. People only will get help if they want help. and they're willing to listen. A foolish person is not like that. They always want to debate because their mind is closed. We close our minds ahead of time as to something, and when our minds are closed, we are not willing to listen to anything. We only listen with the intent, how can I debunk it, or how can I answer back? You ever hear someone say, it's like talking to a brick wall. How many of you have ever heard that? You're talking to somebody, and it just makes, and they don't get it. It's like, it's a waste of time. You know what it's like? Have you ever, it's so irritating. You call these 1-800 numbers to talk to somebody, and you know what you get? A stupid answering machine. Hello. If you would like help, push 1. If you would like this, push 2. I was at, 2 weeks ago, I was making a deposit. I make our deposits on Saturday afternoon at the ATM machine at the Bank of America. So I'm there, and this happened like 4 months ago also. I'm there. I'm making a deposit. I put cash in. Is this the right amount of cash? Yes. Push yes. Push yes. Good. Doot. Take the checks. It takes the checks, and all of a sudden, it's like it quit working. The software was the same for a really long time. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, no, it did not just do this again. And then all of a sudden, I think they run Windows, not Apple, that's the problem. The screen goes black. I'm like, it just ate my deposit. It ate my money. It ate my checks. And about 5 minutes later, the computer rebooted, and it's like, welcome to Bank of America ATM. I'm pretty sure I heard the ATM machine burp. Like, man, it just ate your... And so there's the number. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. My deposit's gone. So I call the 1-800 number. It said, in case of an emergency or a problem with the ATM machine, call 1-800, whatever. And I go on my cell phone. I'm like, and guess what I get? Hello. This is Bank of America automated teller. Or automatic blah, 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 blah. If you have this problem, press 1. Para hablar en español, número 12. Like, I don't want to do that. And so, if you have this problem, press 2. If you have this, I'm listening. And it's like, there was no option for it. It ate my deposit. And I'm looking at the thing, and it's like, or you could speak. And I'm like, no, something else. And then, boop, this is Bank of America. If you would like to do this, press 1. I'm like, no. Boop, this is Bank of America. If you would, I don't know what I did, but after 5 minutes of yelling at my cell phone, and pushing every number I could, finally, it got to an operator. But it was frustrating. I'm like, it says right there, we'll call this number, we'll help. There was no number, would you like to speak to somebody that breathes? It was nothing. That's what it's like talking to a fool. That's what it's like trying to make sense to somebody that doesn't want to listen. They just, it's a waste of time. And that's unfortunate. By the way, let's not be like that. Let's make sure that if we hear something, we always, is this the truth? Is this something God has for me? Let's not be closed-minded. Number 5. None of us will have this problem, so don't worry about this next one. We'll just kind of throw it out there for other people, okay? The foolish man talks himself into a lot of trouble and pain. A foolish man talks himself into a lot of trouble and pain. Proverbs 18, verse 6 and 7. It says, a fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth calleth for strokes. A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. Excuse me. Sometimes we just don't know when, and I'll say the nice way, when to be quiet. You know, the Bible also tells us in a multitude of words, there wanteth not sin. What does that mean? There lacketh not sin. The more we talk, the more option there are for us to get ourselves in trouble. And a person specifically who is not connected to God can even be worse at this. I heard that in 2012, in a bank in Nebraska, they were robbed by a young lady about 18 or 19 years old. She came in, she robbed them with a gun, and she got about $6,000. They called the police, and the police came. They got a pretty good description of this lady, and they gave a description. They talked about her. The police ended up not needing her description. This young lady got on YouTube. She took a video of herself, and she posted it on YouTube. And she said, I had a great day today. I stole a car, and I robbed a bank. And she had the money in front of her. I got $6,000. She goes, I'm going to pay some of my school bill, and I'm going on a shopping spree tomorrow. That's not brain surgery. That is not very smart. And this lady, her name was Hannah Batata, got arrested quickly. They didn't need a lot of evidence. Now, that's the deep end. But foolish people, their mouth is always causing them trouble. Some people take talking too much to a whole new level, not just the volume of our words. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about what we're saying and how we're saying it and who we're saying it to. If we're not careful, we get in trouble. Look at some of the punishments these verses mention about foolish use of our mouth. It says it brings them into contentions. I think it's on your thing there. There's four words he uses that four results of using our words not very wisely. First of all, it brings us to contentions, fighting and arguments. A foolish person, listen, is always in arguments with somebody else. They just don't know how to talk in such a way as to not cause arguments. Now, I know what somebody's thinking. It's like, aha, that's the other people's problem in my life. I mean, this person is always arguing with me, and that person's 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 always arguing with me. Do you know a common denominator there? Who's the common denominator? No. We're talking about someone fictitious. Thank you. It's this person. Listen, if you are arguing with 20 different people, I'm going to throw this out there. Could it be, possibly, maybe, that it's the one person arguing with all 20 of them that maybe has some communication deficiencies? There are some people that just seems, they just know how to say the wrong thing at the right time and cause arguments. Maybe they talk too much. They say things they don't need to say, and it causes fights. Also, look at the other punishment, strokes. Strokes is punishment or blows. It's like being hit, being punished for a crime. What Proverbs say? This is mouth called for strokes. Listen, they're getting in so much trouble, they literally deserve punishment. They're going to have some problems. Some people could talk themselves into any kind of trouble. I mean, some people can get involved in things that have nothing to do with them, because they're not careful with what they say. We're not careful with what we say. Look, if we look at this, we've all done this in the past, I'm sure. Destruction. A fool's mouth is his destruction, causes personal damage or ruin. It could be in your family. There's just always, there's damage to the family, to the children, to those core relationships, simply because someone doesn't know how to use their words. They don't understand what God says. By the way, the Bible says much about how to use our words. And later on in one of our other lessons, we'll actually look at that. How many churches have had problems because people get in, somebody gets a little mad about something, instead of handling it the Bible way, which is, if I have a problem with John, the Bible way is to realize that John's just wrong. No, what's the Bible thing? I go to John and say, hey, man, I'm a little irritated. We work it out. Okay, we go for Rick, you know, like, I know I'm probably wrong here, John. Hey, we're good. I don't go to St. Paul and say, man, John is such a, that's going to cause problems. And it's going to damage not just us, it's going to damage everybody around us. We need to be very careful. How many problems have been self-inflicted by the words that we say? And then the last thing he mentions is snare. Snare. And his lips are the snare of his soul. Snare is like a trap. It's like a noose or a hook for trapping an animal, for catching an animal. It's a snare to our soul. It entraps us in all kinds of sin, in all kinds of misery. Why? Because we don't know how to use the words of our mouth. Realize this as a Christian. We're done. The words of our mouth really, in essence, reveal the condition of our heart. Now, I will say this. All of us, look, there's in James chapter, I think it's two or three, it talks about the fact that if we can control what we say with our lips, we can control everything else in our life. Now, that's pretty heavy duty if you think about it. You say, why would God say if you can control your lips, you can control all the rest of your life? You can have self-control in every other area. Here's Myersology 605. I think it's because it's the hardest, right? We talk. We all have to talk. And it's just easy if we're not careful to just throw something out there we shouldn't. How many of you, be honest, and if you don't raise your hand, you're a liar. Be honest. You've ever said something you probably shouldn't say at the wrong time. Okay, all of us have. Why? It's hard. We just, sometimes we throw it out there and it's like, oh, by the way, if you're married, I've never experienced this once. Maybe more than once. You've had a maybe discussion with your spouse and you've said something in the course of that discussion and you're like, that was the wrong thing to say. That just made things worse. And the words don't even come out of your mouth and it's like, I hope they fall to the ground before they get to her ears. Okay? Now, our church, we don't have that. I've heard of other churches where stuff like that happens. Okay? But we all do that. But I'm talking about on a regular basis. Okay? So what does that mean? We need to guard ourselves. We need to work on our hearts, work on our relationship with God, of course. That's the key to everything. But we just need to be very careful that we're guarded with our words. We don't just say and spew out whatever we feel. Sometimes we feel something and it's good. You want to say something and it's good right at that minute to say, that's probably not the best thing. Why? Because it's just going to cause more trouble. And it can cause contention, strokes, destruction, and it can bring us to a snare. Okay? Let's stop there. It's 8. Let's pray.